What it does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. We've got a great one planned for you today, and I am one of your hosts, David Schultz, and over here, right by my side, is my buddy, Nate Gorzinski. Nate, how are you this fine day?
I'm favoring one butt cheek. I get my shot in the ass once a month. I just got it today, so I'm favoring the right cheek, because the left cheek is, it's a very intimate thing I share with this nurse, like just, you know, I guess that's the way it is with all medical professionals, if they're getting that intimate. But this chick is literally grabbing a chunk of my butt cheek and, you know, inserting something into it. So,
well, I will have you know, it's only intimate for you.
Maybe
on her end of the whole transaction.
I think she loves
probably
me.
Business. You okay? Mm-hmm. All right, you gonna start stalking her on social media?
Maybe. I don't know.
Be like, you squeeze my butt cheek. That means something.
Yeah, we shared a moment. But anyway, man, no, I'm doing all right. How are things over there?
Okay. But I don't want to talk about myself.
Oh, yeah?
No, sorry, Bob. No, because there's much more pressing issues at hand.
Okay.
Now, you know, addiction is a topic that we tread on quite frequently on our humble little program.
True.
In its many forms, because it can, show itself in many different ways, right?
That's right.
Be addicted to a lot of different things. But lately, and this is my grand reveal, I'm pulling back the curtain here on The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
This is how the sausage is made. When we have private conversations, not on air, you have been sending me a gaggle. So many. Glenn Danzig memes.
Oh, Marlo!
Now, I've mentioned to you that I'm surprised a community such as this exists, even though I shouldn't be, because the internet is a wonderful place full of many wondrous things. Yet that someone would devote their time to just creating endless Glenn Danzig memes to me is a little odd, I suppose. So can you at least tell me how you stumbled into this and why you are, I don't know, just so hooked into this stuff?
Well, because it's glorious. It's amazing. It's one of the best things in the world. That's why.
Okay. So this is also a cult.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a Facebook page, a community that I belong to, and it's called Awful Pictures of Glenn Danzig. And I'm giving it a little plug here. It's probably going to, you know, blow up with our, you know, backing.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, how many members do you think are in the group already?
Honestly, who knows? It could be a percentage of the world's population with how awesome this
Billions. This
craze is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea, honestly, but it's tight enough where the administrators and everyone seem to have interacted at some point. Like, I don't know. I'm very involved in it, as you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess it may be a form of substitute addiction for, someone like myself. It's easy to fall into, you know, someone sent me the first meme free. It was some funny picture of Glenn Danzig carrying kitty litter or whatever to his car and snappy little clever caption. And now it's weird. Now it's getting bizarre. They're fusing Iggy Pop with Danzig, Dan Ziggy. You know, things like that. A lot of Photoshop going on.
Yeah.
A lot of in-jokes. And, and you've been the collateral damage. You've been receiving a lot of that in your inbox, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wake up sometimes to a new meme.
Yep.
This is unsolicited.
Oh, yeah.
You just send these at your whimsy.
Out of the goodness of my heart, what someone would say.
Yeah. You wake up, probably immediately check your group, and they go, oh, I like this one. I'm sending this to Dave. Right now.
Yeah.
No hesitation. And I'm concerned. I really am. Just, you know, it's like one of those things where if it does really catch on, like you're kind of implying here, and it starts snowballing into something bigger, before you know it, there's going to be kids in high school skipping class in the bathroom, just looking at Glenn Danzig memes, or even clinics devoted to separating people from their phone so they can stop, you know, making fun of Glenn Danzig.
People are going to get on heroin to get off Glenn Danzig memes.
Maybe. I mean, listen, in all seriousness, now you'd mention it's like a substitute addiction, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Right? This is a very positive thing. It's just so weird to me that it is, in fact, a somewhat popular thing. So, yeah.
It's, well, listen, okay, so Glenn Danzig, just to kind of put a cap on this whole thing, is a figure who takes himself very seriously. And that's where a lot of the humor comes from. He's a very serious guy. He's also, you know, fairly short in stature. And he's someone who's very concerned with his image. He's got a brand. He's very black, very vampiric, very, you know, satanic, dark angel stuff. And, you know, originally the singer from the Misfits, if our listeners don't know, and went on to form Samhain, which is a great, kind of post-punk project. And then Danzig, the more rockier, metalier project, his solo project. And, and he's done a lot. But the thing is, he takes himself very seriously. There's a famous video of him getting knocked out by somebody backstage after trying to get real tough with someone backstage. He gets knocked out, which started, I think, a lot of the humor surrounding him. And he's, like I said, he's a very, very strong guy when he was younger, but now he's kind of let himself go, as a lot of us have. We're all older now, you know, it is what it is, but he still doesn't have a big sense of humor, and he's had a lot of like diva-like behavior. I don't know. I'm going off on Glenn Danzig, but no, see, this is how addictive this whole thing is. I could talk this whole episode about this fucking shit. Yeah.
Well, hey, we got to be careful with that because you might get some other people hooked.
Right.
On these memes. But the thing is, I get it too. It's like Glenn Danzig, you would expect him to be maybe sitting on a throne of flaming horned goats or something in some castle in Transylvania, not to be, you know, hauling his kitty litter out of the Piggly Wiggly.
Right.
I get that. And again, like you said, his personality can be a little off-putting to people. I actually recall him, you said he got knocked out backstage, but didn't he land a punch on Ricky Rackman during Headbangers Ball?
He may have. I thought that was Al Jurgensen that did that, but maybe. Or maybe many people have punched Ricky Rackman.
Tried to throw him in a fireplace or something. Something. Which would be, you know, that would be on brand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because he's a little short, muscular, crazy, evil guy.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, this is... This is something else.
It's just,
and memes.
Yeah, it's fun.
I mean, not to kind of go off on a tangent here, but memes are one of the main reasons why I don't use Facebook anymore, but not because of these in particular, but the misinformation that were very commonly intertwined with these back in, was it 2016? And I've always had an issue with people who look at memes or anything on the internet at face value and just go, well, that's true. That's good.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm going to, you know, base my thoughts and beliefs, is because someone put together a meme in 2.5 seconds. And that irritated me. And I'm like, fuck you, Facebook. I'm done. Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah.
But I guess in a weird twist of fate, it can also work into the power of good.
That's right.
The power of the light. And even stranger, starring Glenn Danzig. Yeah! Nate Dogg.
Yeah.
Nate. I just experienced something that I think is normal for most parents, but for me, it was a little surreal, a little odd. Earlier today, I was jamming out some tunes, and my 8-year-old came into the room, and before I knew it, we were both air guitaring, rocking out, just totally dancing around the house, carefree, like, you know, no problems in the world. But the reason why I found it so unusual, I guess, was because it was to like Faith No More.
Ooh.
And to the Lemonheads.
Ooh.
And these are bands that when I was a teenager were so influential and so big to me. I never thought there'd be a moment in my life where I would have a son, a young child, and we'd be just totally jamming out to the music that I loved so much as a kid.
Wow, man. That's a gratifying moment. It's surreal, sure, but that's got to feel pretty good. You know.
It did. But at the same time, it's like, I'm 43.
Yeah.
I'm no spring chicken.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So just to kind of like think of that for a second and go, here's a 43-year-old dude. And I mean, to top it all off, Yeah. I'm rocking a Kids in the Hall t-shirt.
I noticed. I love your t-shirt. Yeah.
So I was like going full on, you know, nostalgia nerd.
90s nostalgia totally. Nerd.
Yeah. And he was having a blast. He's like, Dad, I love these songs, man. They're great. And I'm like, what? What is going on here? And I don't think this will ever apply again. Like 10 years from now.
Yeah.
When he's a teenager.
Yeah.
He's not going to be like, yeah, man, your music is pretty cool.
You never know, man. He might become more of a musical aficionado and get into the whole, you know, oh, listen to this, these pioneers from this era. And, you know, he might get into that shit. You never know. There are.
Maybe.
There's a whole nostalgia factor, or retro factor, rather, to the younger generations as well, you know.
You could be right. I mean, I don't know. I think with me, basically, I kind of expect the whole fuck you, dad thing to be coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. During the teenage years, and like everything you like is lame.
Could be. Could
so happen. If I could have bottled this moment, if I could have just like, I don't know, trapped it in glass, like the villains from Superman, like General Zod floating through the Phantom Zone to own it forever. Here's the other thing, is that most people, when they'd have an experience like this, they'd pull their phone out.
I was just going to say that. You could actually capture this memory if you really wanted to, but, you know.
I did not, because that's not how I roll.
No.
I'm just like straight on, hey, I'm in the moment. We're having a blast. Enjoy it. I am so not the guy who has to pull out his camera and document everything.
Good.
Which, I mean, I don't know if it's a – well, you say good, but I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Yeah. I don't know.
Who knows? I mean
– I really
–
yeah.
You should be living for the moment. I lived my whole life kind of – I don't want to say avoiding being in pictures. Like when we were younger, we didn't have the ease of – quick phones, pull your phone out and take a picture. It was just like film cameras all the time. You didn't even know what your pictures looked like until you got them developed. So, you know, I didn't really get in a lot of pictures. And then now I'm seeing a lot of pictures from those years and kind of like, shit, I wish I had taken more pictures or been in more pictures. So part of me is leaning towards, you know, yeah, you know, maybe take out your camera or your phone now when things happen. And part of me is like, you know, fuck, I hate going to a concert when everyone's looking through their phones or everywhere you are, people are, yeah, selfieing this. But that's coming from a dude who takes like 900 pictures of his pets constantly.
Okay.
Annoys my family and puts them all over social media. So I am definitely guilty of
something. Nate, let's take this a step further, because even if I had decided to videotape this jam that I had earlier.
This air jam with the
bull. Air jam.
Yep.
It was awesome. Dude, it was incredible.
You were like Eddie and Wolfgang Van Halen.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well,
air guitar. Because, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I was doing some bass. I was flicking my fingers around like, hey, man, you got to play the bass with your fingers, dude. This is what you do. But anyway, my point was, or what I was trying to allude to here was, those people who do, in fact, take pictures of everything, I guess there's a line that I would kind of define people who do it for the good reasons or those who do it for shitty reasons. And I'm big on, you know, again, yet again, we are older.
Right.
We didn't have all this technology when we were young. So even when in your family photos, fucking A, man, like your eyes were closed. You were blinking, but fuck, that was the picture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like you said, you had film. So whatever happened at that time is what you had. You Forrest Gumped, you're done. Okay, that's the picture. Now, and this is the other side of the slope that I was trying to refer to here, people stage everything.
Right.
Oh my God. Like I didn't like that picture. Let's take it again. Or trying to force these moments.
Yeah.
To, I don't know, yeah, impress people on social media, I don't know, or have these perfect photos for what, I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, no, I definitely hear that. It's true. It's like, at first I was questioning your reasoning of good reasons or bad reasons, because I'm like, it was sounding like the no true Scotsman argument, like who's making this determination? Like, how do you know what's a good reason for this person to be taking the picture? But now you make a lot of sense, because it's like, are you doing it just to impress a million people on social media, or are you doing it for posterity, for your own memories and something to look back on? And I guess, I don't know, since I'm thinking in real time here, part of it is both, because I go through my old social media. I'm new to Instagram, which is probably a more appropriate place to focus on photos, obviously. That's the whole point of it. But my Facebook, which I've been on for God, you know, a decade or so, 12 years or so, I've got so many pictures that I would lose hours if I just tried to like look through old pictures. And when I do like just delve into it for a moment, sometimes I'm like, wow, I'm glad I posted that, or I'm glad I took that. And so I don't know. Pictures aren't bad, I guess. It's just, there's too many of them. They lose their specialness when there's too many of them. So there is that, but we have the technology. We have the opportunity. You know, why not use it, I guess? But, you know, there's nothing wrong with just experiencing life and living each moment for the moment and not having to document anything, everything either, you know? So either way, I guess there's no wrong way to live. As long as you're still breathing, you're still living. You know, there's no handbook for this shit. So I'm leaving you, Dave.
What? Where are you going? Why are you going?
No, I don't know if I'm leaving you, because we do this podcast from across the country from each other. So it's not like I'm, you know, we've already left each other. You've already left me. You've left me stranded. But I'm going, as I used to go every year, but last year prevented me from going, last shitty 2020. I'm going to visit my brother in Colorado, as I do. And, I'm leaving for 3 weeks, so we're going to have to figure out some recording schedule stuff here, buddy. But
sure, we can do that. I will say this, flying on a plane right now seems very enticing to me.
Oh, yeah?
Well, because they separate you. So you're not, you know, if you're flying coach, you're still not jammed next to some fat, sweaty schlub in a tube skyrocketing the orbit of the Earth. You know what I mean? You still have some distance there.
That's a good point. And believe it or not, flights were pretty affordable, like, you know, so not only are you paying less, but you have a more comfortable flight, perhaps. That's, you know, wow.
I had a flight scheduled for last year in September, was it? No, August, late August. And I got great rates, of course, because coronavirus, but I had to cancel it because I told my wife I was going. She's like, well, that's all fine and dandy, but when you come home, you're not sleeping in my bed. You're quarantining for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I'm married. So, you know, the intimate moments, they come and go. You kind of have to do them by, you know,
play it by ear. Yeah. Oh,
no,
right.
No, no.
The opposite of playing it by ear.
I want to play by ear, baby. But the thing is like, okay, well, still, I want to, if I do a trip, I want to come home and sleep in my own bed. I don't want to be, you know, a bubble boy.
Right, right.
So, you know,
no, I hear you.
3 weeks, that's a good trip for you, man. That's a long time to go hang out and have some fun. Well, as much fun as you can have. I mean, I imagine now that we're a year into the pandemic, you know, it's not as tough as it was in the beginning to be able to have fun, right? Because you can still go to restaurants and things like that, but you just got to maintain certain protocols. That's all.
Sure. And the thing is, what I'm going to be doing out there is mostly trying to get time on the mountain, and you're already pretty distant on the mountain. There's the gondola situation where you're often thrown in the, you know, little bubble floating up the mountain with a few people. And, I guess that they're spacing those out more. So the lines are inevitably longer, but when you're on the mountain, they're kind of fixing this by, you have to make reservations to go on the mountain on a specific day, and they only let so many people. So you have to kind of plan your ski days ahead of time, as opposed to just, hey, let's pop onto the mountain for a little while. Like, so that's a good thing. I mean, there's less people out there. There's less idiots to bump into. And that's always an issue. You know, you're out there. It's dangerous. Bunch of kids who don't know what they're doing on the mountain, and you can crash into them and whatnot. And now they're all full of germs. So
well, that's sick. I've never been skiing, so I always imagine like an 80s movie, and like everything's a ski school,
yeah,
or something. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I think you'd lose half the appeal.
Yeah, Better Off Dead was a very accurate movie. You know, kids on bikes. There actually are people on bikes now with skis attached, like. The classic movie Better Off Dead with John Cusack. If our listeners aren't familiar, they should be. But, and Curtis Armstrong.
Hold on, wait a minute. Wait 1 second. I think I'm onto something here. This is pure snow. It's everywhere. Have you any idea what the street value of this mountain is?
I wonder if you could do that with a Barca lounger or something. Because that's probably the only way I'd ever ski.
Mm.
If I could just sit down and just kind of, you know, glide.
Listen, you get going so fast, it'd be terrifying. I prefer to be on my legs where I can at least have some control and stop, like skid to a stop. But on a couch or even on a bike, that'd scare the shit out of me. You just get going so fast going down the mountain. It's like, it's time to turn. It's like, oh, am I going to be able to turn into, I don't know. I'm scaring myself out of going skiing. It's been 2 years. I'm like, wow, that shit's scary. What am I doing? No, I'm just kidding. I can't wait, man. I honestly can't wait.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, dude.
Last
year, not only was it a pandemic, but I had just come out of my back injury phase. So they were telling me not to go anyway. And I was kind of, to be honest, going to be like, well, fuck that. I'd like to go if I could, if I had the opportunity, against medical advice. But now I've had a whole year to heal up and I'm just that much more hungry for it. So I can't wait. And, we'll find a way to record whether I do it in Colorado and give y'all a heads up or a little status report from out there
on the slopes. We can go to you live.
Yeah. I'm on the lift right now.
Yeah. The weather guy in the helicopter traffic. Sure. I don't think the weather guy's ever been in a helicopter, but you get my drift.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they are sanitizing the snow right now. They're dosing it with Purell, to make it clean for the next group to roll down aimlessly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. It's kind of like a weird thing now getting back to life, you know. I can't say per normal or per usual because, you know, both of us are smart enough to know that, let's say even if you get vaccinated, you still have to wear masks. You know what I mean? Like you can't, it's not like, ooh, I got my 2 shots of the vaccine. I'm streaking the quad.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just can't do that. You still have, there's still protocols you have to follow.
Sure.
But the other day I was thinking, I'm like, you know, I think I've gotten everything I could ever want. Because of this pandemic, now there's a lot of frustrations involved and things I don't like. But I mean, I'm not obligated to be anywhere anytime per se. I don't have to go and socialize. I don't even have to go to a movie theater.
This is like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
You think, but it's beautiful.
You've turned it to Larry David.
It's wonderful. Like I don't have to, you know, do anything I don't want to do other than go to work, I guess would be the main exception. But you can use COVID as an end all, you know, excuse for anything.
Sure, man. No, that's true. I agree. I've had appointments that I've actually canceled because I'm like, you know what? I think I got a sniffle. You guys said I shouldn't show up.
Yeah, I'm not going there. I got a sniffle here. Or it's like, oh, do you want to meet up with us later at the mall or something? And be like, no, I'm not a super spreader.
Yeah, exactly.
Who do you think I am?
Yeah.
What are you fucking nuts? No.
What kind of asshole would I be if I went?
Yeah. Well, you know, I live in Texas and I bitched about the government here seems like every other episode forever, but the governor lifted the ban on masks.
Yeah.
Mask mandate, rather.
Yeah.
And luckily.
Crazy bastard.
I know he is. He's an idiot. But the thing is, luckily, most people here, at least where I live in Dallas, keep their masks on. And stores and restaurants are still maintaining those protocols. So despite his like proclamation that, hey, the Lone Star State is doing it our way and, you know, screw this and screw that. We're going to be free. Just like most people are like, do whatever the hell you want, you jerk.
Yeah.
We still want to be safe, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So thankfully, that's a good thing. And the other thing too, hey, masks, like, man, if you're ugly or something, or if you got like rancid breath or some nasty ass teeth.
Or if you're just cold. Dude, I've been enjoying them. My girlfriend will laugh because she'll be like, you can take your mask off. We're out of the store. We're in the car or whatever. I'm like, the car hasn't warmed up yet. I'm leaving the mask on, man. It's fucking cold in here.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Serves a lot of purposes. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I had said that to further your point, I was like, one group of people who's really benefited from this whole pandemic are the Butterface community. You know, because you can look at them from a distance and be like, damn, they look good. And then you never have to see it if their face ain't, you know, great. You can imagine a beautiful face to go along with it.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about this now, like someone meeting someone, let's say at a bar or something, and they, you know, go home together and he's just leave the mask on. She's like, you two don't take it off. Yeah. Just leave that shit on. I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at your social media and really see your true face. I just want to keep rolling with this. It's like a fetish.
Yeah.
You know, or something.
A friend of mine said, yeah, it's like, it's a, the big reveal can be scary sometimes. I said, yeah, now there's like two big reveals.
you know? Yeah, you get that right. Holy macaroni.
Yeah.
for real. But yeah, I don't know, man. I again, I don't want to get too lost in the weeds here about the whole pandemic and stuff, but I, you know what? I'm a positive guy. I'm looking at, for the sunny side here, the silver lining, if you will.
Yeah, man.
And, I found it. I really have. And if you're agoraphobic, fucking A, this is like a spring break.
Yeah.
The pandemic.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I was noticing that the younger generation, like Joey, my stepson, and like his friends, especially with video games, online video games and headsets and all that, it's like they're pretty much immune to cabin fever, it seems like. You know, there's an inherent immunity in this generation to cabin fever. They can sit inside all fucking day.
I don't know. I agree with you, and I don't, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Because I also have a son, and he's doing his virtual schooling as we speak, and it's a fucking nightmare, man.
Yeah.
And his behavior has changed. His love for school has completely been thrown out the window.
Yeah.
He's totally sinking into this whole being comfortable, just being fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Like, and now if you try to make him initiate to do anything, oh my God, it's like pulling teeth.
Yeah. I know. My stepson, it's the same thing. He's like, Joey's like, he's talking about when they go back to school and how it's starting with a couple days, half days, you know, just a couple days of the week, half days. And then they gradually go to all week, but half days. And then eventually all day, you know, it's just ramping up slowly. But just the couple days a week, partial days, like, oh, it's only for like 3 hours a day for two of the days of the week. And he's like freaking out about it. He had to do it. I'm like, dude, you used to go all day. Do you remember last year or whatever? Actually, now it's, you know, basically been over a year now. Yeah.
Right. It has been.
So I can't really blame him, but I'm like, come on, man. Dude, you know, I did all 12 years of it. Some people did, you know, some people had to stay back and do more.
I feel. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
But you know who I feel really bad for when I think about it? You know, I'm joking. This is a podcast. I'm having a good old, it's a hootenanny. I'm having a good time. Just like, oh, I love the pandemic. Wee wee. By the way, that was my excitement noise. Wee-wee.
That was like the little piggy that went all the way home.
Yes, that's me.
Okay.
When I think about parents who may have to work or a single parent or somebody, and like, how have you been managing virtual schooling while still trying to balance your work life? You know what I mean? Cause you still got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And then even now, like you were saying with Joey's situation where they say, okay, you're only coming for half days this day or whatever. Again, if you have work or if you don't have a support network, you know, it takes a village. If you don't have those people to help you out or babysitters or can't afford them or whatever, this is just like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Beyond all that, I think about the kids' mental development, what it's going to be like. I was going to say project like 10 years, but maybe even less than that.
Right.
Like the therapy sessions that'll be required for kids, maybe even adults too, trying to rebound from all this emotionally.
Sure.
And it's, everything else.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's totally changing the dynamic, and it's going to be weird to go back, but it's going to have to happen, man. And I'm lucky that Joey's already in his teens, you know, Joey's pretty self-sufficient. Like his, I mean, it's disruptive what's happened, but he's at least got, I don't know. He's already old enough where he is him, you know, he's Joey. He still talks to his friends. And yeah, I mean, 6 hours a day or whatever they were at school is a long time to just take that away, all that socialization.
That socialism.
Yeah, man. We're on Fox News all of a sudden. Yeah. But anyway, I don't know. I'm just saying it's crazy. And you're talking about the effect in so many years. It's like, yeah, they're talking about kids' mental health right now. It's definitely an issue. But the world is changing too. They also said that that we were going to be ruined because we had video games, we had Nintendo, and before that it was like the kids had TV. And I know this is different, this is a pandemic, but as far as like kids just interacting on social media or through computers or through screens, now everything's on screens. It's like, you know, they say that about every generation, and usually it seems like things have worked out. But then again, maybe it's just a long, slow decline. We should have been worried about it the whole time. Like, you know, the generation that was worried about TVs should have been worried. And then the generation that was worried about video games should have been worried, because now this is the definition of a slippery slope, guys. You know, this is, we ended up to where now you don't even have to leave your house to do anything. And the generation that's coming up doesn't want to, you know, Joey doesn't want to go outside to play in the snow anymore. You know, or, you know, he didn't as a kid. He's a little older now, but it's just, that's being bred out of people through technology and whatever. But, so who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Fun social experiment with all of humanity.
Now, we've talked about, mostly this episode, stuff that you get on the internet, right? Except for maybe your ski trip. That's the one physical thing that you can actually get out and do. But when we're talking Glenn Danzig memes, that's on Facebook and right. Entertaining yourself during the pandemic.
You can't get a shot in the ass on internet either.
This is true, too. Very true. You can definitely favor a cheek.
Yeah, you could watch videos of people getting shots in the ass, but...
Or just a little...
Masturbate to me.
Hello, Pornhub. I like this left one. But something that's been kind of bothering me lately is, and I feel like it's a conspiracy that no one's paying attention to, is with streaming services, right?
Yeah.
What was the main appeal when they first were big or first coming out? Like Netflix, it was that you could binge a show.
Sure.
It's like, okay, there's no ads, no commercials, man. You can just sit there and watch all 13 episodes or however many they are in a row, in your undies, eating a bag of greasy potato chips. But now they're changing it back, see? A lot of these shows are coming out once a week. These popular shows. The Mandalorian.
WandaVision.
WandaVision, right? Yeah. I'm sure there's some more that are escaping me right now as I'm ranting. But... that makes me think, too. Well, how much longer until ads start creeping in into that content? Now, if you get something like Hulu and you get the basic plan, they already got that. You got to sit through some ads.
Sure.
There's some other channels that are the same way. And I'm like, this is all returning to cable, man.
This is
what they're trying to do.
Exactly.
So, you know, they were like, gave us a taste of this freedom of internet, entertainment. You can have it whenever you want it, stream whatever you want, whenever you want. But now they're trying to limit you again. And it's like one of those things where people aren't bothered by this. I saw an article the other day where they were championing the return of weekly episodes.
Yeah, I heard the same thing where people are like, oh, it's so nice to be looking forward to Friday night again because blah, blah, blah. And it's like, wait a minute. Why is that good again? I mean, I understand looking forward to shit and how exciting that can be, but like, I don't know. They're marketing it like, isn't this better that you know?
Yeah. We already had it, you know?
Yeah.
And we didn't like it. And that's why streaming was so appealing. But yet again, we're just going with the herd, man. And it could just be younger people who maybe didn't experience it as much.
Sure. I mean, it's like vinyl.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Now, I've talked with my kid before, and it's such a big generation gap because I'm in my early 40s and he's not even 10 yet. When I bring up things from the past, I'll say, oh, yeah, we used to have to watch things when they were on. You'd have to set up the VCR. And he's like, wow, that's such a foreign concept, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But I guess what's old is new again. And now people are like, yeah, I really want to wait for things. I really want to, have that suspense or that, I don't know, anticipation.
Sure. I mean, even the vinyl, like I was jokingly saying vinyl, but it's the same thing where it's like people are like, look at this thing that's big and clunky and can be worn out and damaged. You know, it sounds better because all those pops and hisses in the sound. It's like a warm, and I understand I love listening to records, but it's also like, hey, I could hit a button and digitally pull up any song ever and take up no space. But for some reason, I want to collect a ton of vinyl because of nostalgia. And I don't know that, it's that worship of, I don't know. It's retrophilia.
Retrophilia. Yes.
Is that a real thing or did I make that up?
I think that's t-shirt worthy.
All right.
Retrophilia. I mean,
I'm sure it's a thing.
I'm just thinking the whole thing's like a conspiracy. That's all. Maybe it's just me. I'm like got my tinfoil on my head and I'm like, oh no, they're tricking us. It was all like, oh, cable cutting. We're saving money and we're getting, better stuff. And now it's like, no, now we all have to get this plus and that plus and this new streaming service and that one. And before you know it, you're paying twice as much as you did for cable.
That's true.
And you're still going to wait a week to see a show.
Yeah.
Now, what they're really going to do that would drive me insane is like the mid-season finale.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That would fucking piss me off to no end. So it's like, oh, yeah, this is Netflix original. Oh, and we're only going to do 6 episodes. You need to wait 3 months for the other, whatever. I would cancel right away.
Yeah.
And throw my fucking TV out the goddamn window. This is the point of the program where I like to thank our partners. Yes, indeedy, Lemon Squeezy. These are great products and companies, and you should be checking them out. Now, we make it even easier because we got some coupon codes. That's right. Hashtag deals. Deals. It's like stealing, Nate. It really is. It's like running out of the store with free shit.
Wow. Call the cops.
Call the popo. First up, we have alpinehemp.com. The CBD revolution has arrived. Now, you could be suffering from a wide range of ailments or maybe need some better sleep or just some better techniques to relax. Well, guess what? CBD is there to help. And Alpine Hemp has great prices on these products. So don't wait. Visit alpinehemp.com. We also have northlandvapor.com. Vape juice, baby. I love to vape. I am a former smoker. And I say former because vaping changed my life. It made me feel better, healthier, and Northland Vapor helped me get there. All of their e-liquids are Diketone and artificial sweetener free. You may be asking yourself, Dave, why the hell is that important? Because guess what? Big Tobacco ain't telling you what's in their products, but Northland, they care. Now, both of these sites, you can visit them and use coupon code SELLINGOUT19 to save 19% off your entire order. Hence what I was saying earlier about running out of the store with that big old discount. Last but not least, we have one of my all-time favorites, Spunk Lube. I say it with flair. I don't care. You can use it on your pubis or put it in your hair. It doesn't matter, baby, because guess what? Sex should be fun. It should be enjoyable for you and your partner. Spunk Lube is award-winning lube used by professionals in the adult film industry, but why let them have all the fun? You can have it shipped discreetly to your door by visiting spunklube.com. Try it today and you can thank me later. And now, without further ado, let's go to the segment that we like to call Nate's Notes.
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
So it's March of 2021. The pandemic has been part of our lives for a year. We've lost over 500,000 people here in the U.S. Our lives have been forever altered. And it's been a really lonely, boring year for most of us. Or if not boring, then surely stressful and uncertain. But at the time I'm writing this, we are in a strange transitional period. We have multiple vaccines that are being administered. Restaurants and other businesses are gradually reopening. Idiot red state governors are prematurely lifting mask mandates and social distancing restrictions, and that's a whole other thing. With the seasons changing and the weather warming up, it's hard not to feel optimistic butterflies. Although we've been on the, quote, verge of opening back up for a while now, and we've been through spikes and restrictions before, so it's hard to get too excited. But if things continue as they are, and inoculations continue to ramp up, and we can survive the anti-maskers trying to pull a George W. Bush mission accomplished scenario, spiking the ball at the 10-yard line, well, there may be hope of a somewhat more normal, happy summer and fall. And for those of us who've been missing it, a blessed return to live entertainment and concerts. Bands have been posting tentative concert schedules for months that have had to be revised as the world remained closed. And as I've mentioned in other episodes, a lot of artists have done online shows for fans or otherwise socially distant events. But now, when a band posts their fall 2021 tour schedule, it actually feels worth it to buy a ticket and start getting amped up for it. I myself have been doing some jamming with a few friends, and my band has actually booked our first show in about a year. scheduled for April 18th. So I'm arguably more psyched for that than anything else. I've got a list of songs to brush up on after not playing in forever, plus a bunch of new stuff to learn. Some welcome homework, if you will. Our project, The Tribe, is just that, a tribe of like-minded people who just love creating and jamming together. There are far more of us than is typically needed to make up a band, but hey, the more the merrier. Sometimes only four of us may be able to make a show, or sometimes it could be eight or nine of us up there. Lots of instruments, lots of variety. Needless to say, this being our first gig in so long, and the fact that it's at possibly our favorite venue, lots of the tribe answered this particular call. It's going to look like a Pig Face or Parliament Funkadelic show. Luckily, it's a big place, and if the weather is nice, we'll be able to space out even better outside. Last thing we need is some super spreader event, but with this place's layout, I'm not really worried. So yeah, we all worked on a list of songs to have ready. We're all, hopefully, practicing at home individually. And if we can, it would be nice to have at least one rehearsal together before the 18th. But I'm honestly not super worried. We've done several shows with no rehearsal at all, and barely any discussion of set lists ahead of time. It's a combination of trusting oneself, trusting one's bandmates, and just not getting super worried about things. It almost always works out. And when it doesn't, you suck it up, get embarrassed, and try to laugh it off later on. I mean, I guess it would suck if our first show back ends up a disaster. With so many people scheduled to be playing, it could potentially be a cacophonous mess. But hopefully enough of us will have practiced and polished up, so it would cover up any possible weak links, so to speak. Any sour notes will get lost in the mix. But honestly, it'll just be nice to make music with a bunch of folks all in the same place. If the audience likes it, and actually if there's an audience at all, then fucking great. But to be making steps towards some sense of social normalcy feels good in itself. Entertainment may not seem that important on a surface level compared to nursing homes opening up for visits or kids going back to school, but socializing and experiencing art in a group setting are more important than we often recognize. And for some of us, the act of creating something beautiful with a few friends is a luxury we didn't fully appreciate until it was taken away from us. It'll be nice to get back to it. So yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it.
Now I have a question.
Okay.
Mentioning the tribe, your band.
Yeah.
You're not sure how many people will be in the audience.
True. So I'm not even sure how many people will be on stage, to be honest with you, but...
What if it was just like one guy, like Clown Shoes Johnson, who's just shimmying back and forth in his hobo clothes? And you go, ah, well, at least somebody's enjoying it. I guess that's all that matters, right?
It really is. If, dude, as long as we get him dancing, fucking Hobo John or whatever the fuck you said is mm-hmm. cool with me.
Now, what about social media? Why don't you guys live stream this stuff? Get hip with the kids, man. Do all the TikToking and Instagramming.
I mean, we could. I mean, we advertise our live gigs that way. But as far as streaming something, it's hard to get a bunch of people to a venue. To be honest, we kind of cheat and play at a lot of venues where people would probably be there anyway. It's like, right. It's not like playing an old hardcore show where you had to kind of promote yourself. It's like, oh, hey, a bunch of people are drinking beer at a brewery. Cool. They will allow us to play there. Like
captive audience.
Yeah. But usually they are, you know, usually we do well enough with those crowds. We know where to play at this point, you know, what kind of places. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, there's so many people hungry. I of course, me being excluded.
Right.
But I know. There are so many people just dying to get out and do something. And if it's, again, safe, fuck it, man. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
Do it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I had mentioned how I have been jamming with a couple people and we do it safely. I mean, we're not like all holed up in this tiny room, all like a couple feet from each other. Like we're spread out and we're like, you know, trying to face enough away from each other where we're not just spitting in each other's faces or breathing, you know, breathing each other's
right,
shit.
Right.
But, and it's just a few of us. And we've been kind of just getting together and improvising and just feeling how it feels to just play with another person in a room again. You know, it's been so long, but this show that we have booked, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a bunch of us. Cause like I've mentioned before, we have everything from, yeah, guitars, bass, drums, but we have multiple people that may sing. We have violin players and mandolin players and hand drums and all kinds of different, you know, it depends on who shows up, honestly, but keyboard players, whatever, multiple guitar players. So I don't know how many people are going to make it, but we have the list of songs and we're all kind of, yeah, we're all kind of working on it. And
right on.
And it'll be super fun, hopefully. I think it'll be fun regardless.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, for your sake. And then, like I said, if you have no audience, you know, whatever. You guys are at least, like, finally doing something that resembles an activity that's normal.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's at a brewery, and it's a big open kind of – it's a brewery, like, on a farm where they also have, like, a dairy farm and an ice cream stand, and they have, like, a barbecue spot. So it's, like, a big place. And as long as the weather holds up, we can be outside. So people shouldn't be afraid to go. And also, it has beer and barbecue and ice cream and shit. So people usually go. And it's cool. They'll send the band members home with a giant growler full of beer, you know, the big jugs.
Yeah.
And it's all brewed there. It's nice. You know, it's their own brewery. And yeah, it's a great place. It's called the Stone Cow Brewery. I'll give them a little plug. The Stone Cow Brewery in Barre, Massachusetts, if any of our listeners are in the area on the 18th. It would be great if you went. If not, I understand. But, you know, it'll be fun. Hopefully they'll get some kind of recording of some of it, and maybe I could throw it up but on our Facebook page.
Yeah, totally.
But anyway.
Do that, man. Freaking do that. I, you know, the whole, like, gatherings of people, I haven't, of course, I would be nowhere near that, but I think the most adventurous thing I've done is I've gone to the Olive Garden.
Ooh.
Yeah, ooh. But I see, I figured that was safe because, like, all the, like, there's not even a chef. They just throw, like, a plate in the microwave and bring it out to you, and they're like, here's your tortellini.
That's right. What do you like, that tortellini gorgonzola steak shit?
It's been cooked to perfection, 2 minutes and 12 seconds, yes, in the microwave.
Yes.
You know, let me tell you something, though. I was talking to a girl at work the other day about the vaccinations, and this is a reminder about how people think. Because, you know, we often put people in two groups. Like, either you're like some right-wing person who's against this or whatever, or you're liberal or whatever.
Right.
And this girl is, she's like maybe early 20s.
Okay.
And she told me she doesn't want to get the vaccine because she's heard negative things about it hurting side effects, and that she's been safe during this whole pandemic because she doesn't go out. But mind you, the whole time she's telling me that she pulled her mask down to speak. Okay. But see, to her, she's been doing everything to specs. You know what I mean?
Right.
So she's like, yeah, I don't need that stuff. But then I was thinking, like, I even tried telling her, like, don't worry because you could be asymptomatic.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So don't worry about the vaccine side effects because you don't even know you'd have it and you could be giving it to somebody else. And oh no, I don't have it. I would know if I had it. And I'm like, this stubbornness is absolutely insane. This is coming from a young person.
Dude, I know it. I've heard it too. I mean, there's a lot of, just misinformation and that anti-vax shit. Like, I have friends who are very liberal that are like, I don't want to say anti-vax, but hesitant to get their kids vaccinated and may skip some vaccines because they think, you know, they think there's some kind of risk associated with them when there's never been any kind of, as far as vaccinating your kids, there's never been any direct line shown between autism or whatever they try to blame on vaccines. But this vaccine, I mean, there's been some side effects, but it's not like you've heard any life threatening things. Like maybe somebody gets a little sick for a day or two, and then maybe there's some soreness at the site, or maybe, you know, it's a lot better than worrying about whether you or someone else is going to die because of this
disease. And I mean, they even say outright it's not 100% effective.
Right.
You know, I mean, they don't know this yet. This was all like emergency rollout and everything else. So,
but it's pretty close to 100%, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty close. But I'm going to start my own disinformation campaign for vaccines. And I'm going to let everybody know, maybe you can help me with this, make a meme with Glenn Danzig.
Okay.
That I got the vaccine and my penis grew exponentially.
Sure. Okay.
An extra 2.5 inches.
Nice.
Limp. Sounds limp.
Great. Wow, man.
What do you say? And then some guys out there, whoa, hey, look at this. Dave's got a big schlong now.
Sure. And he's got a penis the size of Glenn Danzig now.
Yeah. Exactly the size. I feel like this has turned into our all pandemic episode.
Hey, isn't life an all pandemic life at this point? It touches everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, I don't know. You're right. It's unavoidable.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it before. These episodes are a snapshot of where we're at when we record them. And someday we can look back and say, holy shit, remember when we recorded during that pandemic? Listen to how crazy that shit was. And, you know, hopefully, if you listen to, a lot of the right wingers, they'll tell you that, no, this is all a plot and it's never going to go back to normal. And the liberals and the socialists want it to be this way for some reason. They're trying to control you. They want us to wear masks forever.
Yeah. We can't wait for those stimulus checks though. Oh yeah. Gonna buy some red hats with them motherfuckers. Let me tell you right now.
Right. That's right.
Hey, I also got to mention because we got to get out of here.
Yeah, that's true.
We got to go.
Yeah, man.
Yo.
Don't you guys have anything better to do?
Yeah.
Than listen to us.
Hey, slow down there.
No, I mean, for any longer.
But if you ever want to get in touch with us on social media, it's easy. I mentioned I don't do the Facebook, but Nate does. So you can find us over there on the FB.
That one's Facebook. That's Selling Out Show 1.
Because we're the best. It's a big foam finger out there.
That's right.
We're number one. Twitter at Selling Out Show. Instagram at Selling Out Show. Or you can send us an email, sellingoutshow@gmail.com. So if you like what you heard today, maybe you didn't like what you heard, or throughout the history of our shows, because we get a lot of them, feel free to let us know.
Please do. It'd be nice to know we're not just speaking into an empty void. It's nice to get feedback.
And let us know what cheek you favor, because this is an important thing.
That's right.
And it might help Nate in the future. So
if you've got any video of yourself getting a shot in the ass,
please send them to Nate Stat.
Yeah, or destroy your hard drive, one or the other.
Yeah, the FBI is coming. They're coming through the windows like the scientists in E.T. So anyway, I'm Dave. That is Nate. And this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace.
Wake up, the devil looks so low.
It's fine. You're going to have to tag that blooper take on somewhere. Dude, that shit is hilarious.
What?
That was just so funny. Like, you can put it on your pubis or rub it in your hair. Just the whole thing was awesome.